Today, Pastor Ray Bentley has words of encouragement for those living something less than an all-out, cutting-edge, risk-it-all type of faith.
I want to encourage you who believe in God, don't believe in a puny God. Believe in a big God, a powerful God, an almighty God, a God that loves you and has eternal plans for you, not just here and now.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Some people have an academic faith. They believe all the right precepts, know all the right scriptures, and say all the right things. Others not only know the Word of God, they know the God of the Word. They have a rich, personal, active relationship with Him on a daily basis. Let's see how we can all be that kind of believer.
Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. We're going to do two stories of Jesus now in Jerusalem. And he is going to have one story with the Sadducees who come challenging him. We're going to talk about who they were and who maybe the modern Sadducees are. And then after that, he was challenged by a Pharisee. And they were another group of religious leaders in ancient Israel. So we're going to look beginning in verse 18. I'm going to read verses 18 through 27. It says, "Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him. And they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind, and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring.'" Now, this is not a true story. It's a hypothetical story, but if it was a real story, if I was like brother number five, and the four before me had died, I would maybe say, you know, I don't feel well. I think I maybe should go on to the next brother. Anyway, last of all, the woman died also, and therefore in the resurrection, so it's a hypothetical question. In the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven brothers had her as a wife. Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry." Now this is very interesting. Jesus is answering a hypothetical question, but it's a principle and a reality and a revelation of our eternal nature and future that is true for all believers. "When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken.'" So I ask the question, what kind of God do you believe in? Do you believe in a big God, or do you believe in a small God? Now here, as this Sadducee or some Sadducees came to challenge Jesus, it's interesting to note this is the only place in the Gospel of Mark where the Sadducees are mentioned. And to just give you a little background on this group, the Sadducees, only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament. And so Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was the only thing they received and accepted as being from God. Now, here's what's also interesting. Because of that, Look how it limited their faith. They did not believe in the existence of the soul. They did not believe in life after death. In other words, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe there was any final judgment or accountability. They did not believe that there was such a thing as angels. And for that matter, they did not believe that there was anything such as demons or fallen angels. In fact, you might say they didn't believe in much but themselves. What's interesting is they had shrunk God down to a size they could control. And that is a problem. These were the Sadducees. They were the priesthood. They were heavily involved in the running. Now think about this. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in resurrection. They don't believe in anything except all the laws and the first five books of Moses. But they were running the temple in many ways. They were the priests of the house of God. But they had made him a very small god. And they were also, amazingly, they were known as the religious aristocrats of Judaism. And if you're taking notes, they tended to look down on everybody else. Now, there are many today who believe in a God of some sort, but it is not the Almighty God. It's not the Creator God of the universe to whom they are accountable. It's a smaller God, which in the end, if you have a small God, you're going to be left feeling lonely and vulnerable. We also learned that they were spiritual and they were wealthy, but they were also empty. It's interesting that now they come to Jesus, who is the Messiah, and they feel like they've got him trapped. Because this question was not really a serious question. It was a question to mock and make fun of those who actually believed in a resurrection. There is a kind of spirituality that leaves man basically in charge of his own life and destiny. And it's funny how when you make God small, you're really making yourself much bigger and wiser than you really are. They lived by a few simple rules, but they had no relationship with God. And so here's what I want to encourage and what I want to share with you, and I pray that you will take it straight to heart. I want to exhort and I want to encourage you who believe in God, don't believe in a puny God. Believe in a big God, a powerful God, an almighty God, a God that loves you and has eternal plans for you, not just here and now. I mean, this is just the beginning. It is not over at the end of your brief life here. This is like just the first page of eternity. We have much more living to do. So now, here's an interesting point. Because these guys came, it's not a true story. It's obviously a hypothetical question. And there are going to be people who will come to you with hypothetical questions. And they're going to say, well, what about this? So you're a Christian. You take the Bible. You read that. You think that this is we can take the Bible and just read it and try to live by these ancient people's rules. And they will present to you a hypothetical situation. Don't get caught. And they were basing this from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. I'll just mention that. You can read it later. And let me just say this. It seemed a perfect argument, as most arguments do when they are based on hypothetical situations. But the power of God and the truth of Scripture. Look with me again in verse 24. Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken?" In other words, Jesus was able to say in a loving but yet straightforward way, "You're wrong." It is not unloving to disagree with someone, especially when what they've just said does not happen to be true. It can be loving to tell the truth. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Now, it's possible to just speak the truth, but if you have no love, you're like beating people over the head. On the other hand, you can speak with all this love, but it becomes mushy when there's no truth in it, and it's only sentimentality. So the Bible says, the heart of God is balance. Amen? So they thought they were smart, but we find out in this story, Jesus is smarter. And Jesus revealed their ignorance in two areas. Number one, the power of God, and number two, the truth of Scripture. What Jesus tells them, he gives them he goes beyond what they have. They've limited God. God revealed himself in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but he revealed himself on and on through the wisdom literature and through the prophets as well. But now Jesus is going to give them revelation of something that man could not know. This is divine revelation. Jesus tells them and tells us, resurrection will not merely be the restoring of this earthly life as we've known it here on earth, but it is rather an entrance into a new, entirely different sphere of life than we've ever known before. It is perfect. It is pure love, pure joy, and pure peace forever and ever and ever.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, let me also say, Jesus says, to answer their hypothetical situation, we'll be like the angels. Okay, let's say what Jesus did not say. Jesus is not saying here that we will be like angels in every single way or in every single detail, but in this one area, we will be like the angels, and there will be no marriage, and there will be no one being given in marriage. It'll be a totally different life when we get there. And then Jesus quotes, because they've been making this big point, and so to say that, you know, let's say the Pharisees who did believe in the resurrection, they would be quoting from the prophets about resurrection. And so the Sadducees would, you know, very smugly say, yes, yes, go on and on, but we don't believe in those prophets that they heard from God. You show us in the Torah, the first five books of Moses. And what's interesting is, after Jesus gives a divine revelation of what eternal life is going to look like, we're going to be like the angels, he says, and they don't even get married in heaven. Now he brings it right back to them, the Sadducees, and he says, now, let me quote to you from the Torah, from the first five books that you say that you believe in. I'm going to prove from you, right in the middle of the Torah is a scripture that proves the resurrection that you have been blinded to. And Jesus quotes, right in the middle of it, Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Okay, let's read this out loud together. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now look at that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive when God spoke these words to Moses. God did not say to Moses, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God speaking to Moses in the law, in the Torah, says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, Moses teaches us there is life after death because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive when God spoke to Moses right there in the Word. Amen? It's awesome. It's powerful. So now we go from the Sadducees to the Pharisees. In verse 28, he says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? In other words, what's the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus said to this Pharisee, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared question him. Oh, I love that. Okay, now we're back to the Pharisees. The Pharisees not only believe the first five books, they believe the whole Old Covenant, all the prophets, all the wisdom literature and the writings. They believe in the law of God. The Pharisees have determined that Jews were obligated to obey all of the commandments. How many commandments are there? 10. Well, there's 10 major ones, but did you know that there are sub-laws that are defined, and when you count them all up together, does anybody know how many there are? 613. You get a gold star. If you read through all the law and you count, can you imagine? Okay, 32, 33, 84, 85, 298, 299, 476, 477, 608, 609, 612, 613. Finished. You got to keep all 613. So one of the favorite topics of these Pharisees who are constantly studying all of the laws, and by the way, the 613 come under one of the 10 columns or silos of the great 10 commandments. But one of their favorite topics for debate was discussing which of these divine commandments was the greatest. So I've put into your notes where Jesus is describing here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. So you're going to have to read this. Now, some of this is from the Complete Jewish Bible. It's a little bit Jewish. So you're going to have to, you know, hang with me and, you know, fake it until you make it. So go along with me. Let's go. Okay, let me share with you the first line, because that's in Hebrew. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Okay, you heard that? So try it with me. Let's read it out loud. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Wow, that's good Hebrew. Here's what you just said. Hear, O Israel, Adonai, our God, Adonai is one. Now let's read on. And you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources. These words which I am ordering you today are to be on your heart, and you are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you are traveling on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. Put them at the front of a headband around your forehead and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. That's why the Jewish people, you know, when he says, you know, tie them around your hands and tie it around your minds. Well, the Jewish people in ancient times, they read this and they wanted to be as obedient as they could, as literal as they could. So they literally took the law and began wrapping it around their hands, and literally, you know, the little box you see on the Orthodox, they literally have a little piece of the scriptures and they tie it around their minds. And when you see a Jewish home and on the doorpost it has a mezuzah, it has a little piece of the Torah there, and they kiss and remember every time they go in their house and every time they leave, they're trying to literally fulfill the Word of God. And this is called taking the Word and living it, digesting it, and then passing it on to your children. This is called the Shema of Israel. It's the great confession of faith that even today pious Jews will recite every morning and every evening. In the Holocaust, when the Jews, when they were killing them, there were many of them that, upon realizing what was happening, cried out, Shema Israel! And they would cry out, the great Shema of Israel, hear, the Lord God is one. The Lord our God is one. And they would cry it out in Hebrew before they died. It is called the Shema because it comes from the first word of the confession, which in Hebrew, Shema means hear, means to listen. Oh, what a privilege it is that you and I have to hear the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. The greatest commandment to fulfill in your life is to love God. And by the way, we love him because he first loved us. Loving God comes from responding to the grace of God and the mercy of God. And I want to tell you, God loves you. I mean, I know that this is not an easy thing for us. Here's how human beings generally think. We think that when we're doing good, God really loves us. And when we're not really being so close and obedient, he kind of steps back and he doesn't love us so much. Without realizing it, we base our feeling of closeness to God on our performance. And we don't realize that though we preach grace, we basically live by the law and guilt and condemnation. The gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament brings us into a place where if you can have the boldness to grasp it and to enter into it, God, his love does not dim, it does not change, it does not fade. He feels exactly about you as he has always felt for all time and all of eternity. He's crazy about you. There's nothing that can hold back his love for you. And that's why the Bible says, while we were yet enemies, when we were his enemy, our back was turned on him and we were running away. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son to be nailed, whipped, beaten, and crucified. If he loved you, how much more then? That's what Paul writes in the book of Romans. If he loved us that much when we were sinners and rebellious and denying him, how much more does he love us now that we repented, changed our mind, and are now adopted as his sons and daughters? Amen?
Amen.
So a revelation of God's love and grace is the greatest gift. And when you realize how much he loves you, it's easy to love him and to love him back. And then Jesus quotes Leviticus 19:18, which emphasizes loving one's neighbor. In other words, Jesus says, love fulfills all the laws of God. All 613 commandments can be fulfilled to love God and love your neighbor, because love fulfills the law. Read with me Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And when you get that, as Jesus said to this Pharisee, you are not far from the kingdom of God. When you love God and you love your fellow man, your neighbor, and when you receive God's amazing grace.
Great insight on the importance of loving God. Pastor Ray Bentley with another portion of our study tour through the Gospel of Mark today here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, The Greatest is Love. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day, automatically, at no charge. And also, you can link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it? RayBentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And RayBentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.